Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, men and women, non-conformers and non-believers, gender X and gender equals, welcome to Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast. My name is Damien B. Donnelly and I'm the host and producer of this show, going out on Spotify, Anchor, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podbean, Pocket Cast, Player FM, Overcast, Radio Public and many more platforms. Thank you so much for joining us here today, where we have a packed show for you, full of colour, pride, grief, loss, oceans, daggers, Yiddish kilts, seasonal migration, stardust, whale fats, Persephone, Hades, pomegranates, Barbies, witches, robots, bears, cubs, disco beats, jam jars and Parisian highlands. So I suggest you settle back, put the phone on silent, put the feet on a poof, and let's make this hour dedicated to poetry, and of course to ensure that you stay bloody poetic with us here on Eat the Storms. I'm going to start today's show by going back to the beginning and reading a poem from my debut pamphlet, Eat the Storms, which was published last September by the Hedgehog Poetry Press and its wonderful creator, Mark Davidson. Eat the Storms was the reason that this podcast came to be, as I looked for ways to be able to share my voice and the poetry within this pamphlet. And of course, immediately I realised that we were all in the same boat, and so opened the show up to poets all around the world. And I am so, so honoured that so many poets, almost 100 now, have joined the podcast in season 1 and season 2. And hopefully we will be back again soon with season 3. This poem is called The Purple Petal. And purple is the colour of pride, and here it is being planted in the garden. The purple petal. Lather us in lazy. Let us lick honey from purple petals. Let us lay down dreams upon the velvet of a plump peach. Slip us into a dream of sleep where language is lulled in a lake of stilled thought that tickles tongue upon first taste with the truth of who we are. Where we shed red thorns that have twisted flesh and bequeath our blues to the bed at the bottom. To form a base as we rise in a garden of purple pride. Honey pouring from our once starved lips. It is a joy and a privilege to welcome my first guest to the show today, who has been a dear listener and supporter of Eat the Storms over the past few months. She grew up on Scotland's west coast to an Italian mother and Scottish father, and found comfort in the written word from an early age. In life so far, she has been an actor and a journalist, but most recently she found poetry and is now a published and commissioned poet, and for this we are all very fortunate. She has been published in South Child Lit, Abridged, Bear Creek Magazine, The Speculative Book 2021, Visual Verse and many more. She's currently working with the Museum of Loss and Renewal Publishing on her first collection. You can check out the blog post for this episode at eatthestorms.com to find links to her website and links to her work, which I am delighted to be discovering right now. But for now, sit back and relax in the fantastic company of Giovanna McKenna.
Hello to everyone listening, and huge thanks to you, Damien, for asking me on to the fabulous Eat the Storms podcast. I'm so excited to be here and to share some of my work with you and the listeners. I should say a little bit about myself. My name's Giovanna McKenna. I started writing about 4 years ago. I sort of fell into poetry, actually, and I really feel I've found my home there. Today, I'd like to share a few poems that touch on subjects that I'm currently looking at. And the first one is called Postmortem, and it's actually about nature. I was lucky enough to grow up beside the sea, and I've never lost that longing for water, even though I now live inland. So this is my exploration of what the ocean means to me. It's called Postmortem, and it was first published in Dear Damsels. When the pathologist cuts me open, salt water will run from my veins. The crack in my skull will require an extra twist to loosen the barnacles from my cave of bone. The scalpel's nib must wade through a haze of droplets to pierce the dampened rise of my salt-glazed skin. Knife pushes in. Against ripples of resistance, my shell is prized open. Rock pools blink under the harsh lights. Limpets lock to my deflated lungs. Rubied anemones wave in alarm at the rolling waters as sweet, shining seaweed catches around the stillness of my heart. Deep within the twist of my sea-soaked guts, flickering flashes of silvered scales can be glimpsed. Tentacles flex and gently grasp for a rib to rise with the swell of each new surge. Water sprays over my broken skin, washing the tiled floor free of its hospital smell, filling the room with a soft sea breeze. Gulls cry overhead. Pebbles rumble against the grip of each pooled wave. A westerly plucks the scalpel from a trembling hand. Salt dust slashes, masks lift, rubber boots are shucked. The pathologist goes paddling. My following two poems both look at grief and loss. I don't have either of my parents now, and as I think that anyone who is in that position knows, it's an experience that sticks with you, that changes you. This first poem, and they were both published by Dreich, is called Stranger. After your funeral, in a house weighted with people you had known and loved and loathed, I stood under the narrow attic stairs and turned the pages of the book I'd made. The book with photos that showed you walk from bold-eyed infant immigrant to flaming adulthood to crochet-wrapped and smiling in the hospice garden. Visitors flowed around me, bitter coffee and tiny meringue clouds flavouring their talk, easing discomforts. A woman I didn't know hesitated as she passed. I grasped her hand, pressed pen to palm, and asked, "Will you write about my mother?" Later, when there was nothing left but dirty plates and echoing rooms, I found the stranger's words for you. She took me in. She taught me how to make an omelette so I would not go hungry. This next poem is about how grief lives within us, waiting for its moment. It's called Hidden Object. It is the thing you find at the back of a drawer when clearing out your mother's house. It is the object nestled in the dusty, fly-corpsed grey of a wooden corner, amid layers of old receipts, rubber bands, dry pens, and keys that have lost their doors. There it is, silent, crouching, stealthy, the one small thing which at first glance has no form other than its mystery. It is the fragment you salvage, dust off, polish slowly with the corner of her old blue cardigan. It is the thing you hold to your breast as you sink down onto the pins of your grief. For my next poem, I'd like to share with you something I wrote a few months ago And it's about those days when sometimes the simplest things are the hardest and the most important to celebrate. It was first published in the Speculative Book 2021, and it's called Bravery in the Morning's Light. There are often days in my months, my years, which fail to begin or end. Waking occurs but brings no clarity, only my thoughts, piled high, pushing on my sternum, pressing me further into the mattress, leaving me breathless in the morning's light. There is faint transition, a fractional switch of state, eyes off, eyes on, but little other alters except expectations. Now it is day, and there must be action for limbs which in the night have rumpled into rusted anchors. The path to the bathroom is long and possibly impossible. I open eyelids which ache to close, to slip once more into inertia. With one brave foot, I test the air for daggers. I have one more poem I'd like to share with you today. And I wrote this while we were in the full grip of lockdown, when the thought of seeing other people was impossible. Got me thinking about how we would communicate, what we would say to each other, what our greetings would be. So this poem, which was first published in Wet Grain, is called A New Word for Hello. I choose something that opens. A word that worked like a clam's shell, bristled and complex at first, but after effort, showed itself to be wide and soft and glistening with the silken reflections of pearls. If not that, then something barren and hard, but full of life, like a bucket, a dull, dry, slightly grubby brown bucket, full to the top with chilled clear water, thrown directly in the face. Something you could react to. Something shocking and bright and wild with possible rage and laughter. My thanks again to Damien and to all of you listening. My name's Giovanna McKenna. You could maybe visit my website, which is giovannamckenna.com, and it's been really lovely spending time with you.
My next guest on Eat the Storms today's extraordinary debut pamphlet, This Kilt of Many Colours, will be published next month by Dempsey and Windle. These are poems that paint on a broad canvas, drawing on family heritage and life in Scotland to celebrate the warp and weft of a complex and multicultural identity of Scots Yiddish. I am grateful to have already heard him read from this collection, which is an extraordinary tongue twister of tales. He is based in Edinburgh and won the first prize and the Hugh McDermott Tassie in the Scots Language Association's Sangshaw competition for his poem The Trebler's Tale. Please enjoy the language stylings of David Blyman.
Hello, my name is David Blyman and I'm delighted to join Damien today on Eat the Storms. I first met Damien when he popped through my letterbox in the form of a stickleback, a slim collection issued by Hedgehog Press. Then I met him again at a small Zoom gathering where he stole the show with his short story about going shopping with his ma at Aldi's. And here we are again. I'm new to Twitter, and although you would think that I would be the first person named David Blyman to join, I found that this was not so. Someone was there ahead of me, an American teenager, calling himself Dave the Babes Blyman, more in hope than in reality, no doubt. But to avoid the risk of confusion, and for the sake of complete transparency, I had to call myself David Blyman, Grandfather, Poet. For as my first poem confirms, I am a grandfather. It was written in September 2019 in London. We tore down from Edinburgh when we heard that my granddaughter had arrived. And as we were walking down a boring road to the boring travelodge in the boring suburb of Penge, I noticed that we were passing a succession of round trees, and they were all bursting with berries, bright in the slanting September sunlight. And knowing that my granddaughter's name was Rowan, the poem wrote itself over the next 24 hours. What I didn't know was that she would also be a red-haired Rowan. Rowan, for a September granddaughter. Given to light, September sun of southern suburbs catches the rowan fruits to feed a song thrush. As you come in and where you go, the rowan tree will care for you and grow as you shall grow. In the night, rowan, when you and I can't sleep, the poem that I planted yesterday is fruiting clusters, radiant red on every branch. Be deep, enchanting as a tree, peaceful, persistent as a poem. Stand shelter, smiling at the door, and share your sparkling fruit with all these hungry birds who want to sing with you the winter through. That poem appears in my first poetry pamphlet, This Kilt of Many Colours, published by Dempsey and Windle. Damien has kindly posted a link to my author webpage, so do please have a look. As you may gather from the name Kilt of Many Colours, my pamphlet celebrates the diversity of modern Scotland. It looks at languages and identity through the prism of my own family heritage, which happens to be Jewish and involves more than one migration. It's written in English, Scots, Spanish, Yiddish, and a Scots-Yiddish dialect which, as it had died out by the 1950s, had largely to be imagined. Here is another poem from the collection, Svelbela, which plays with the idea of my family as a sweep of swallows, regularly moving between the hemispheres as my own family did, my grandparents from the Tsarist and Habsburg empires to South Africa, and my own parents bringing me from Cape Town to London in 1960. My son has flown south again, but landed in Madrid, where he is nesting. The word Svelbela is a Yiddish word, a diminutive, little swallow. We found it when a letter dating from 1931 was translated from the Yiddish. It was a letter written by my great-grandmother, who was in the city of Lemberg, later to be Lvov, now Lviv in the Ukraine, and the Svelbela, the little swallow to whom she refers so fondly, was my mother, now 91 years old. When writing the poem, I was thinking, of course, of my mother, but I was also thinking of looking into my granddaughter's eyes, another Svelbela, thinking of what meanings she would make of her own life and of her family's history. I was looking, in a sense, in both directions, through the generations. Svelbela. With God's help, the beloved little Svelbela has no doubt already perfectly recovered. Letter from Lemberg, 9th of January, 1931. Stare me out, my little swallow, without words, wanting the world. What will you find? Behind these weary eyes I swoop space-time to Africa and back, thoughts on thermals gliding to those worlds I wish for you, and as a tourist from the future, visiting my mother's origins. Will you find what I have buried there in reed beds where I roosted, resolving to return? In some marshy mud nest, down where brackish waters wash, or in eaves of outhouses, lodged on ledges out of sight. If there's a map, it's a letter, in a shaky script in Yiddish, from my mother's distant granny, about to be lost in a forgotten city of a dead empire. Transliteration and translation, inference and conversation, transcribe another Schwalbeler, newly hatched in 1930. We are a sweep of swallows, and we wander on the wing. So keep searching, little swallow, that you may inscribe your meanings in this seasonal migration, origin and destination. Nests you'll find, and flights you'll take, by the makings of your mind. Certainly my pamphlet is largely autobiographical, but it's not just about me or about being Jewish in Scotland. I don't see anything unusual in having a complex and multilingual heritage and a mongrel identity. Indeed, William McIlvany described Scotland as being a mongrel nation. As you know, we're all from Africa. Homo sapiens came out of Africa. The Europeans were the Neanderthals. We Homo sapiens were the immigrants who invaded their territory, took over their hunting grounds, and through some process, which is interesting to think about, acquired some Neanderthal DNA along the way. We are all immigrants. The final poem I'm going to read is about that familiar question, but where are you from? Which gets up the nose of any immigrant. At least in the English language, I can say that I'm from Edinburgh, though I was not born here. But in Spanish it's different, as there are two separate verbs for to be, and the question de dónde eres uses the verb ser, which refers explicitly to origins and not current domicile. The other verb for to be, estar, is about present location. And for that reason, and because we're all stardust, I've coined a new word for the Spanish language, el estardust, or if you like, being from the dust of the stars and living in the dust of where we are. Not where we come from, but where we are. But where are you from? Again, the same old question. We are the wind which blew open the door, and we are in your house. We are the river flooding in, and we are on your land. We are from there, from over there, and now we are here, here inside. We are from Africa, like you, and we are from the stars, just like you, and we are leaves in the river and dust in the wind, and we turn a new leaf, and we are writing in black and white, and we are all stardust, and at this moment we are here. Here we are, el estar, el estardust. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you might enjoy my pamphlet. And thanks again, Damien, for a chance to eat the storms with you here today.
I am delighted to welcome my next guest to the show today, who is the author of Death Magazine. His debut collection, which was published by Salt in 2019 and was later nominated for the Polary First Book Prize. His debut pamphlet, Black Jam, was published by Broken Sleep Books, and his work has so far been published in journals including Magma, The Rialto, Poetry Wales, Poetry London, and highly recommended in the Forward Prize. It gives me great honour to welcome to Eat the Storms for the first time, Matthew Haig.
Hello, my name is Matthew Haig. I am going to read a few poems for you. The first one is from my upcoming pamphlet with Bad Betty Press, which will be published at the end of 2021. The pamphlet's called Vampires, and this poem is called I Am Your Witch. playing dress up, and you, a giant mouth, rosy globes of bone. In this bedroom universe, my head's blonde moon orbits the planet of you. Such forests of makeup we pushed through to find the witch within. You set obsidian lakes on my nails, chalked twilight across my cheeks. You never forget the bin bag's crinkle as it's taped around your body in lieu of a costume, the waxy green effulgence, fake fingers, full chest. You spun me around towards October burning, the night so buttered with amethyst. This boy, you took his mind. You let the gender-bending bats in, let the spider eyes in, sweeps of eyeliner, slashes between seductive worlds. I play the cassette tape that raises a light cage over us, that wards off memory loss, which is the true death. I was born raw as whale fat. How horror movies licked their bloodlight over me. How once you stood in the steamed kitchen lopping a glistening pineapple down to gold hoop earrings. And we could have smeared the word pineapple using your ashes and it would mean something. How once God was stuck to the stuccoed ceiling of that house like a white gloved hand, a mouse pointer. Playing Nintendo, we shriek with laughter as we kick bombs back and forth, you shouting, I'm dead, so many times, as if rehearsing for the big day, the day that came too soon, as if tempting fate, the way a moth invites itself to your lips. The one thing I keep is the vial of nail polish. I'm thumbing the black crust off it when the call comes through. When my mother's howl stabs upward from the hallway, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I meant only to talk about the time I went as a ghost into the dripping night. Your warmth followed me. Tarmac exhaled from fresh rain, dark as liver, your fingers at my back. I swear for a moment that my trainers left the mirrored ground. The next two poems I'm going to read are from my debut full-length collection, which was called Death Magazine, and it was published with Salt in 2019. The first poem is called Vintage Barbie Chest of Drawers. What I love about video games with poor graphics is the bittiness of them. I like reality rendered through a diorama, a plywood facade, the dryly domestic reflected in pink plastic. This is why I preferred playing with Barbie as a boy. Her assortment of accessories in miniature, PVC handbags, clamshell compacts, sun hats and cycling helmets. My grandparents thought it meant I would turn out funny. But it's difficult for a six-year-old to articulate how few things are as satisfying as the click of a tiny drawer in a tiny cabinet. The final poem I'm going to read is called... Well, it has two titles. It's called My Robot, or... I stop knowing what to do with the Android version of you. I left you, my robot, standing under the blackcurrant bush in the rain, the house with the lip gloss door. The neighbour's washing hung there, forgotten or given up on. I left you like I leave all things, propped against the brick wall, going soft around the heart. The pool table, its greying wood, the bicycle's slack chain. I do not believe that you end death. You died, became a palace in the distance of my mind's eye, viewed askance, a sigil sight. I now look past your metallic face and each new rusty flowering. It appeared to be a gift at first, this code of consciousness. Dusk has me surrender to its crush, the same as your synthesized voice, a sound that you can smell. New car leather, hot salt wind across the beach. We've lurked too long, this coastal town. I perfume my hands with lavender cream, think gorgeous, gorgeous, knowing it ends, the touch of all these disparate parts. Thank you for listening to my poems. I hope you enjoyed them and found something in them that was worthy and likeable. Thank you to Damien very much for inviting me on the podcast. It's been a pleasure, and take care.
And now, before I introduce the next guest, another short poem from my debut pamphlet, Eat the Storms. This one is called Ruby Red. We capture lies in jam jars. Rich ruby reds to dapple sweetness over the bitter truth. We fish through sieves for reflections of who we were before we drowned the earth dry. We turn towards clouds, trying to draw conclusions from those cotton constructions we cannot catch hold of. We walk across this world with a fate that cannot always keep us afloat. My next guest on the show today is a Best of the Net nominated poet from North London. She has a BA in creative writing from Bath Spa University, and her poems have appeared in Magma Poetry, Willow Herb Review, Square Wheel Press, Hazel Press, and The Adriatic. As of this month, she is the Silver Branch featured poet at Black Bow Poetry Press, and you can find a link to that on the blog post accompanying this episode over at eatthestorms.com, or by simply heading over to Black Bow Poetry itself. After reading her poems in this series, I treated that they were precious, like Venetian glass, delicate yet bursting with colour, with taste. I wanted to take some of those words onto my tongue to savour them even more, and then place them back on a stand and watch how the light lifted them. But before I introduce you to this poet, let me hand you over to the MC of Black Bow himself, Mr. Matthew M.C. Smith.
Hi, it's Matthew M.C. Smith from Black Bow Poetry. First of all, I would like to express my appreciation for this podcast, which showcases so many poets and projects. Damien, thank you very, very much. You're doing a top job. Secondly, I want to introduce our Silver Branch series writer for April 2021. This is Zaina Ghani, a writer from London. It was an absolute privilege to work with her, and I really hope you enjoy her work as much as I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Damien, for having me on your Eat the Storms podcast. I'm Zaina Ghani, and I'm going to read three poems, two from my Black Bow Poetry Silver Branch feature, The Gift, and Hades at the End of Summer, and one from a chapbook I'm currently working on, and this poem is called Pomegranate Seeds. My inspiration for these poems comes from the complex relationships between Hades and Persephone, and Persephone and her mother. In Greek mythology, Persephone is obliged to remain in the underworld with her husband Hades for 6 months, and the rest of the year with her mother, Demeter, on Earth after eating pomegranate seeds from the gardens in the underworld. I use the symbol of the pomegranate to explore themes of feminine maturity, power, and sexuality. In The Gift, I look at how abrupt female maturity from girl to woman can be. We are given the gift of menstruating, but not every woman's gift is the same. Hades at the End of Summer is a love poem told in the perspective of Hades. It marks the period of late summer, beginning of autumn, when Persephone would be making her way to the underworld, back to him. Hades would have been waiting for her return all summer, presumably. Hence the last line, the end of abstinence. The last poem, Pomegranate Seeds, is a dramatic monologue told in the voice of a powerful Persephone. The original myth is twisted into a dark tale of self-destruction. Hades here is a huntsman, driving an axe through Persephone to extract the rubies of pomegranate seeds and other treasures she's hoarding. I hope you enjoy the reading. The Gift. All girls must sup with God one day, when he'll give us our pomegranate. No plate, no cutlery, will untie the linen, break past the indignant crust of fate. Mother, I think of your fruit, those tiny cherubs where seeds, droplets of blood, should have been. They didn't quire for your milk, nor grimace as they met light, but moon-faced, stiff, swaddled in the silence you left exposed. Hades at the End of Summer. I think of her as one of Klimt's women, thinner than a willow tree, performing ablutions by a river shaped like an arm, reaching out for an apple. Heart of scintillating youth, it floods its red, swelling the roots of the underworld. She will shade over me and find me dreaming of her. A flurry of vows, so lips, a sign of moonlight, so eyes, an end to abstinence, so we kiss. Pomegranate seeds. Swallowed them whole, jewels that my body would hoard, giving new meaning to the word chest. So you would use an axe to undress me with, rubies dripping down my legs. I want someone, you, to want me as a means to an end, a road less taken. While you're down there, unpair the besotted butterflies. They need not love in excess. They will inherit the spring I snapped them from, was ripped from me before I could scream about ruling two worlds and owning neither. Hear me shudder an age too late. Am I a cold rose stripped of thorns? My petals shall flock too close to the sun. And while in pursuit of more treasures, you may become distracted by a blurred goodbye note, a whirl of hair, the ghost of my mother's jewelry box ballerina twisting the night as your bloodied hand misses the doorknob moon just before your dust.
My next guest on the show today describes himself as a Londoner who makes experimental films and poetry about being gay and working class, using barbaric wit and humour. He trained in fine art at the Slade School of Fine Art, University College London in 2005, and received his doctorate in 2016. He has recently performed at LGBT-centred online events, including Insight and London Queer Writers. And his recent films have been selected for many international queer film festivals, including Queer v LGBT Film Festival, the Gilbert Barker Film Festival, Kansas 2020, and he has recently been selected for the Wicked Queer 2021 in Boston, USA, which is one of the oldest and largest LGBT film festivals in the world. It is a pleasure to welcome this guest to the show, who I met and saw performing first at the Poetry LGBT open mic on Zoom, hosted by former guest Andrina Leanne. This is Lee Campbell.
Hello everyone, I'm Lee Campbell, an artist, writer and performance poet. Comedy historically comes from a queer identity defence, when it was harder to be gay in public, to be funny like Kenneth Williams, who used gay slang known as Polari to communicate with other gay men covertly. As a means to express, as well as emotionally protect, gay men have historically and today embraced and used camp, daftness and a range of comedy forms in subversive and often surprising ways. My poems use a lot of humour and comedy to address really personal, raw, painful subject matter. I'm going to perform two poems, which are no exception. The first called Wrong Kind of Fat, and the second poem, Clever at Seeing Without Being Seen. Wrong Kind of Fat uses humour, innuendo and word puns to address and critique what are really complex issues around body image and identity labels within the gay male community. Issues which indeed have affected my life as a gay man. The second poem, Clever at Seeing Without Being Seen, explores when I discovered my sexuality in the 1990s. Like the first poem, loads of humour and comedy to address really personal, raw, painful subject matter. If you would like further details on what I do, please go to my Twitter and Instagram accounts, both Lee JJ Campbell. When I perform these poems, I combine spoken word with video art. For examples of this, please go to the poetry section on my blog, leecampbellartist.blogspot.com. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy listening. Discover the same other whilst under the cover, creeping, seeping, peeping, see me, see Lee. Early noughties, in my early 20s, King's Arms, Soho, I discovered bears and cubs don't just live in the forest. Cruising you, will you cruise me back, men bruising me like I was the wrong kind of fat. Cruising for a bruising, bruising whilst cruising, include, exclude, or welcome here to this members club, promoting itself as convivial pub, but please adhere to our idea of what is bear and what is cub. Always two steps forward, always two steps back. Bullied at school for being gay, now bullied by gays for being wrong fat. A community that preaches, be yourself, be you, but not you, how messed up is that? I could feel the words in the stare of this most uptight bear. You could do with losing a few, but the only thing I was losing was my mind. And just when I thought I'd finally caught the eye of a rather nice guy, as I stood at the bar with my Stella Artois, who I swear did peek at my bent over butt cheek, who made me think he may buy me a drink, come over and ask when was I here last, and finally extinguish parts of my past. You found the matches. Your coldness pushed me back into the heat of the fire and flames of those playground games that names and shames those who do not aspire to be Mr. Muscular hyphen heteronormative. Thank you, Mr. How to Kill Desire. Fit, fat, fit, fat, fit, fat, fit, fat.
queer is a disruption. We are the disruptors, young queer people. We're space architects, imagineers, creating spaces that destroy our fears. We survive in spaces where we thrive and our beauty comes alive. Yet, these spaces we create, we animate by constant self-policing. Say the right thing, body image. We're feeling quite oppressed ourselves. How can I forget when I once met a guy I found on the internet through his Bacardi and Coke and cigarette smoke, this excuse for a bloke cracked joke after joke. Blue-eyed boy Lee, I love your dark, hairy legs. Shame the rest of your frames, lard pie from Greg's. Be more like me on spinach and eggs. You can't be a cub, you're far too old. Gays are so vain, don't believe what you're told. Put those legs out on show if you want to get sold. Wear shorts all year long, it's not too cold. Your legs are your assets, don't believe what you've read, that it's inside that counts and the thoughts in your head. Wisdom and words and that thing called romance versus getting inside another guy's pants. I'm afraid to say when it comes to the gay, the snake inside is pain for play. Gays may lie, but believe me, they squirm if the snake in your calvins is the size of a worm. Bigger the butt, the better, it's true. And if you're more than 8 inches, you lucky boy, you. Parade your legs, remember all that I've said. It's the only way, blue eyes, you'll get a guy into bed. I'm getting quite tripped on these bodies all ripped. Imagine mine stripped and everything flipped. Mr. Spinach and Egg, stick your rules and regs in the hole at the back of the top of my legs. No body shame, no wrong kind of fat. Smash the fads, rip the mags. Smash the fads, rip the mags. We are a community, anti-being controlled. Yet there are those who are persistently told, you are too fat to be a cub, too slim to be a bear. When will we get over the labels and stereotypes and just be? Stick your rules and regs in the hole at the back of the top of my legs.
Creeping, seeping, peeping.
Discover creeping, the same seeping, other whilst peeping, under the cover. Creeping, seeping, peeping. Covert operations, my teenage fascinations. Awkward altercations with non-queer populations. Sensations that taught me, if ever they caught me. Sighed cautiously deliberately blur. Words that infer derogatory slur. I got very clever at seeing without being seen. My sexy Italian geography teacher, my imagination in your class took me everywhere. Spending longer looking at George Michael than learning his song lyrics. Smuggling copies of Gay Times into my room just to see guys like me. That time in the 90s when the only way I could see men in their underwear was in vintage fashion magazines from the 70s. Creeping downstairs whilst parents asleep to watch Television X just to see a man naked. A young Rupert Everett, full frontal on late night BBC Two, black and white, undiluted the beauty of his manhood. Gay kissing scenes on TV, Dad trying to hide his discomfort, and sometimes not. Catching a glimpse of Andrew in the changing room, what a sight for sore eyes. Chelsea versus Arsenal, 96. Dad watched the match, I watched the players. Dad remembers the midfielder's tackle, I remember the midfielder's tackle. Dad remembers the midfielder being shown the red card. I remember the midfielder's red jockstrap showing. Dad remembers listening to hear who will next play against Chelsea. I remember listening to imagine the midfielder. Discover the same other whilst under the cover, 94, me a boy no more, needed to see men like me. Bunk off school to where was cool, shaved my hair to fit in where, disco beats fill London streets, mixtape boy, so much joy amongst gays like me, who gaze and see me, see Lee. Brighton, my first gay pub, Queen's Arms, George Street. Heart a flutter, legs like mush, the street was George, my previous crush. Here's where I learnt, bigger the fish, bigger the tackle, bigger the fish, peeping, bigger the tackle.
Creeping, seeping, peeping, creeping, seeping, peeping, creeping, seeping, peeping.
My final guest on today's show is a returning guest, and I am so delighted to have her back again. Her debut pamphlet, a Scots language pamphlet, will be published in July of this year by the Hedgehog Poetry Press after winning their dialect competition. In 2022, her debut poetry collection will be published by Cinnamon Press, having recently won their literature award. She is one of five North poets to be commissioned by the Scottish Poetry Library as part of their Champions Project 2020. She lives in the Highlands, on the Black Isle, and yes, this is the incredible Lynn Valentine.
Hi, Damie. Thanks so much for asking me back on Eat the Storms. It's a pleasure to be here. This first poem I wrote with you in mind. I know you love all things Parisian. I'm much more a rural kind of girl. So I've written a poem and it's called April in Harris. Joking about lightning, bog soaked on Clisham, the highest beings in the Outer Hebrides. Not Paris this, our jacket's not the latest in French chic, but suited to sitting on a hill, sharing a piece. Would you rather sip a brandy under a striped awning shade of a Parisian cafe, or feel the warmth of Heinz cream of tomato on your chapped lips? And the pedestrians are crows and hares, beetles, an eagle if we're blessed, and the sun comes out for just a turn, and the lochans line up, an emerald necklace fit for a lover, and the land ripens with gold-soaked light. Cold air hangs between us. We drink and drink. This next poem is about my student job. I worked in libraries in Glasgow while I was a student, and in some really deprived areas as well. And the library was a wee ray of sunshine in those areas, so this is a wee tribute to the Glasgow libraries. It's called In a Glasgow Library, 1987. They borrow 6 mills and boons at a time, maximum limit, hover at the door, wait while I'm classifying new arrivals. How many books does it take to chip away the grey of the council estate? I stick a small rose on the spines to be filed under romance. No symbol for sex, so the harlequin's nuzzle suggestively next to tales of love and heroines. The Zane Greys and the like are filed with the sign of a gun. I'd prefer a horse, if I'm honest. Likewise with daggers for crime, a swap for the O of a magnifying glass. This estate is commonplace for knives. The odd gun, the odd death, hard men, violence, Thatcher sucking it dry. I'm grateful to those who order new roses, happy for those who travel with horses. This is about my mum. She had a very poor upbringing, but she refused to ever say anything against it. And it's called Born in the Slums. She chose bright light when there was dark, refused to ever make a mark against her slum home. She talked of neighbours, kind and poor, the laughter in amongst the doer. Harley mentioned her mum away, dad in the army with little pay, the doing without the outside loo, bringing up her brothers too. She said times were hard, but I loved it there, and in the meantime said a prayer for central heating, kids with bellies, 3 meals a day, the colour telly, prawn cocktail crisp from the ice cream van, and fish and chips on Friday. I'm recording this poem on World Earth Day. Seems quite appropriate. I was thinking what the future might bring to me. And it's a poem about the moon. I think every poet should at least have one moon poem. I've probably got a few more than that. It's called Future Moon. On waking, her frail hands grasp for the moon. A trick to show she's still breathing. A stir from her bed to cup a small slice of light. Dimmed velvet, slight, moccasin soft. She remembers her bucket list, ticked things off that no longer exist. The creak of the Marmolado Glacier, greeting sun in midwinter at May's Howe. The earth has loosened with age, sluiced through extremes, lost coastlines and parts of the map. The moon sits still, patient, rests in the gnarl of her palms. Blank gaze mirrored back.
And now one more poem from my debut pamphlet, Eat the Storms. This is called Purple Clouds. And I suppose I'm reading this now because over the past 2 weeks we've spent so much time back out in the garden watching the plants and the seeds that we planted last year and seeing how well they have thrived. Purple clouds. In the many meadows of my mind, plants grow down from purple clouds of carved cotton and seek substance from the surface, not the ceiling. In the many meadows of my mind, fences are painted with faces familiar. Mouths catch kisses if you're quick enough, and embraces sprout like bushes to cradle comfort. In the many meadows of my mind, music spreads like ivy, a chorus to cut through the chaos, a crescendo of colour, like a flower unfolding. The final poem I'm going to leave you with today is not one of mine, but it's a poem that I've selected from Under Photon Crowns, a collection recently published by Black Bough Poetry, and it is of the selected writings of Di Fry. Di unfortunately passed away this week, and so this poem is in memory of him, and in a way to say thank you for the poetry he has left us. This is called Dancing Alone. In the long earth, a spirit breaks soil, casts a shadow under majorial skies. In these windy, daisy lands, I dance alone. Sky larks sing to the dry grass nests, their hymn. Bright song, my muse. Russet and green leaves applaud. Crown shakes in rapturous dance. For the tree that moves remains a tree at heart. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, men and women, nonconformers and non-believers, gender X and gender equals, we have reached the end of another episode of Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I have been your host, Damien B. Donnelly, and today's sensational guests have been Giovanna McKenna, David Blyman, Matthew Haig, Zed R. Ghani, Lee Campbell, and Lynn Valentine. As always, for details on today's guests, and in fact for every guest on every episode of Season 1 and Season 2, you can head over to www.eatthestorms.com, click on the podcast section, and there you will find a blog post listing every episode and the details of every poet. This was Episode 13, Season 2. We are now coming to the end of Season 2, with just a couple of episodes left. Point to note that next week's episode will go out on Thursday instead of Saturday, because Thursday here in Ireland is Poetry Day Ireland, the 29th of April, and we have a fantastic lineup of poets here on the Emerald Isle to share their tales with you. After that, we will be back to normal Saturdays, and then of course Season 3 will come back at the end of May, so you don't have long to wait. Meanwhile, if you want to be a guest on the show, then as always, drop me an email at eatthestorms@yahoo.com. That's almost it for me for today, except to say a huge thank you to all my guests on today's show, and of course to my guests on every episode, and to you, the listeners, for tuning in to every episode and now 2 seasons. I was 23 years working as a pattern maker in the fashion industry and never would have expected that someday I would be hosting and producing a poetry podcast. Take care, see you next Thursday instead of Saturday, and until then, of course, as always, stay bloody poetic!